Well, we are going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians today, if you would like to follow along, if you'd like to open up God's Word. 1 Thessalonians. Tell you what, for all this fancy musical stuff up here, I don't think I've knocked too much of Ethan's things off yet. I don't even know what some of this is. All right, good, good, good. There we go. So we're in our series now, finishing up the day, the series called God, I Want to Change. God, I want to change. Not so much that God wants to change me and it's against my will. God does want to change us for our good because he loves us, but this has been specifically about, Lord God, I want to change. I feel stuck. I feel trapped. I feel like I can't get rid of this habit or this way of life, or I've got these experiences that keep coming back. Lord God, I need help. Send help. Something has to change. That's what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks and plus this week here. And so we started off with, it all starts with repentance. All the worst things are rooted down in sin, and God will work together with our repentance, our turning to the Lord. And we sort of worked through that idea of repentance and how God works through repentance for good and healthy change. And today we want to finish up our series with this, finishing well. Finishing well. And let's just say that you've worked with the Lord and you have invested with the Lord and you have sacrificed for the Lord and repentance has taken place and you've seen some victory and you start to have some long-term good effects of you working with the Lord and the Lord doing change in you. And now it's kind of like, Lord, I appreciate that. Thank you for your help. What do I do now? And that's kind of where the Thessalonians were at. Last year we had this series. I don't know how you guys liked the series, but it was my favorite title of all time. It was Dirty Jobs with Timothy. Remember that? That was awesome. I love that. I just like the whole idea of just the beginning of the church and just like they're like learning their lessons, and we kind of dispelled the idea that, you know, sometimes we read Timothy and it comes off like this like little brother figure with a runny nose and Paul's taking care of him, but we found out really Paul would go and something terrible would happen, and then Paul would look around. He'd need a man to go take care of something hard, and he would send Timothy. And then they'd go on, and Timothy would catch back up with the group, and they'd go on a little bit, and Paul would look around. I need someone. Man, woman, child. Who should I send to this difficult situation? You know what? I can trust Timothy. Timothy's tough. He's patient. He's loving, even when people are at each other's throats. I want to send Timothy. So over and over, he sent Timothy. And the book of Thessalonians is about one of those times. Paul and Timothy and Silas had gotten treated pretty terribly at a previous town, and they went into Thessalonica. Now, Thessalonica was kind of a happening town, okay? It wasn't like, I'm trying to give a good analogy, it wasn't like New York, it wasn't like creme de la creme, but it was a capital of the area called Macedonia there. So it'd be like Columbus, or it'd be like Cincinnati, or Cleveland, or Indy. It'd be like a pretty happening town. And Paul and Silas and Timothy, they go into Thessalonica and they start, they preach in the synagogue a little while. Then they start meeting up with some people who started to believe in the Lord. And they kind of get this beginning of a church going. And then someone gets ticked off and they take Paul and Silas and Timothy, they take basically their host family, the house that they were staying in. They go in to get that family and they take them to the governors and they say, these guys are enemies of Caesar. They're ticking us off. Get rid of them. And so they sort of get kicked out of Thessalonica. So it was sort of like a short-lived mission trip. Like they came in, they're there, we don't know, maybe 2 months. You know, it's like, you know, maybe 8 weeks maybe. And then they get kicked out. And so they move on to the next place. And Paul's like, man, it was really going good there. You know, we had the beginning of believers and something started and we got kicked out. I'm just worried that those young believers, that they're gonna struggle. People don't like our message. It's hard. I'm concerned about them. You know what? It's been a couple months now. Who should we send back there to check on them? Timothy, why don't you go check on the believers on the church in Thessalonica? And so he sends Timothy. So Timothy goes back. He spends some time with them, helps clean up a little bit of their problems, and then he comes back and he gives this report to Paul. He catches up with Paul in Corinth, and he says, Paul, here's what's been happening with the church. First of all, it's good news. They have struggled, but they're in the faith, and they believe in God, and their repentance is sticking, and they love the Lord. They've got some challenges now, and here's what's going on. And so Paul immediately sat down. He says he immediately got down. He wrote this letter. We have this letter now, 1 Thessalonians, and he sends this letter back to them with some trusted friends, and he says, I am so pleased that I've heard about your faith. We didn't get to have much time with you, but you were doing good. You struggled with repentance, but your repentance stuck. And now you're living in the faith, and I've heard some of the challenges that you've had. And some of their challenges were this. First of all, they had some friends that died who were believers. And at this time, remember, Paul didn't give very much time with them. They had heard the message that Jesus would come back soon, and they were getting ready, right? And they're all excited, like, when he comes back, we're going to be in his side. Like, we're sacrificing, even if it's hard to get away from the world and all these indulgences and stuff, I'm going to stick with the Lord no matter what. And when he comes back, he's going to accept me, and I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. It's going to be so great, right? And their friends are with them, and they're excited. And then one of their friends dies. And then another one of their friends dies. And they haven't had much time in God's word. And they're like, oh my gosh, my grandma just died. Is she going to miss out when Jesus comes back? You know, is my grandma, is she not going to make it? And so they were grieved. They were hopeless. They were concerned. They're like, well, some of the people that I care about, now they're starting to die, and Jesus hadn't come back yet. What if they miss out? And so they have these questions, and they're really upset. Another thing was they had gone through the initial hard stages of, Lord, I want to change, and they got the changes done. And it's sort of like, they were really good boys and girls. They did it God's way. And they sort of have like their good habits now. They're worshiping the Lord regularly. They're seeking God. And they still have challenges. And they're like, are we just going to be like left here until God comes? Like, isn't he going to fix all the problems? What's going on? And finally, they had one last problem. Some of the Christians, they were so excited about what the Lord was doing. And they were so into the Lord's things that they didn't take care of their worldly things. And they started to mooch off of the wealthier Christians. And that wasn't right. It's great that you're with the Lord. It's great that you're seeking God with everything you have, but that doesn't mean that you cast off your responsibilities in the world. And so Paul sat down and wrote this letter, and he says, you know what? I'm so grateful for what I've heard about you guys. I was worried, but you sent Timothy back with this good news, and I'm so thrilled. And so Paul writes this letter, and he tells the Thessalonians, here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on finishing well. Whether Jesus comes back tomorrow or in 5 decades from now or in 500 years from now or whenever, no matter what, we finish well. And here are some ways that I want to encourage you how to finish well. And so here are some things that he told the Thessalonians. How, Paul, do you want us to finish well? And so we're going to sort of tiptoe through Thessalonians to get the big idea of what Paul's saying. I'm going to finish with sort of one of my favorite verses of all time, and then we're going to celebrate communion and remember what the Lord did today. So first of all, Paul sort of pleased. He says, I'm so glad I heard everything I heard about you. And then he says this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. He says, we know that God has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in words, but in the power of the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So first thing, they were sort of concerned. They're concerned about themselves, about their friends. They're like, maybe I'm not going to make it. Now it's hard. So Paul says, first of all, if you're worried about finishing well, if you're worried like you're not going to make it, maybe like Jesus didn't come back and you're trying really hard, I don't know how long I can keep this up, I want my repentance to last to the end. First thing Paul says, I want you to be encouraged. Relax. Relax a minute. Know this, first of all, before anything else, that God is on your side. And you can know this for sure, because when I preached to you, when I brought the message to you, you didn't just think it sounded good, but the Holy Spirit moved in you. He convicted your heart. He might have had some things happen where you're like, you knew that God was maybe calling you to come and know. So you know, first of all, that there was nothing that Paul could do. There's nothing that your friend could do. God is putting things together so that you would believe in him. And in fact, this happens all the time. One of my favorite stories is I was in the pool hall here at the lake and trying to make friends, trying to make connections, trying to just really get to know people and get in their lives a little bit. And then if the opportunity comes up, to discuss the things of the Lord. And so one of those opportunities came up. And this guy said, man, you're with the church at the lake? He said, man, I got to tell you, I'm really concerned about my dad. He's not doing well, and we are not a good family. We've had some rough times. But all of a sudden, I tell you, my dad's afraid of dying, and I've never seen him afraid of anything before. Now he wants to go to church. And he wants me to help him, like up the steps and stuff. Not only that, my friend is breaking up with me, my girlfriend's breaking up with me, and she, all the stuff's happening, and it feels like everything is about God all lately. Like, it's just like all these coincidences are just coming together. And so I said, like a pastor should say, do you think maybe God's trying to say something to you? I'm just asking you, do you think? He's like, maybe, yeah. And so I had that conversation, and then a couple months later had the exact same conversation with another guy, and a couple months later the exact same conversation with another guy. These are not people in the church. People think this. People realize this. This is God working. Nothing that I can do or say. Paul says, recognize that if you had repentance, like if you asked God for repentance and he's been working with you, relax. God is on your side. First of all, when Jesus comes back, whether it's tomorrow or a long time from now, first of all, if you're in him, remember that, first of all, God is for you, okay? So if you want to finish well, it's not based on your effort. You should put in your effort, but it's not based on that. God is with you too. He's not your enemy. He's not getting ready to give you a spanking if you mess up in one little place. God's with you. So he sets up the whole, that's the first chapter. That's how he starts off. He says, first of all, if you want to finish well, be encouraged. God is on your side. And I think it's kind of neat that this is like one of the most encouraging letters. Kind of like when you get like the idea of what Paul's doing. Here's another idea. Here's what I like to do sometimes when I'm reading the Bible. If this is God's word to us, basically as the world in general, you can take any time that he says you and you put your name in there instead. Okay, so here's an example from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I'd like you to try this for yourself sometime. Okay, this is how it goes. He said, Paul's saying, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, here's what happened. You accepted it, not like it was a word from a man, but as what it really was. It was the word of God, which is at work in you. Paul says, not only do you know, but I know. I know people outside of your head, right? Your friends, they've seen that God really is at work in your life. And I want you to be encouraged. When Jesus comes back, I just want to testify. Let your friends encourage you for a minute that I'm proud of what you're doing in the faith. Right? Put your own name in there. So then he says this. Okay, I want to finish well. I want to finish well. Here's another thing. May the Lord make you increase, chapter 3, so we're almost going one chapter at a time really fast. Here's another thing he says. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Increase in love for each other and for all. I like how Terry actually jumped in there during the announcements talking about the bouquet of flowers. You know, so we do this thing every month at the Servant Evangelism, right? And so, I don't know, I was just going to say like the last 4 months or so, I'm kind of thinking like, is this doing anything? You know, I mean, we should reevaluate, right? We're doing these monthly projects. Does this really matter? Are we just, you know, could we have effort that we can spend. Should we spend it somewhere else? Let's just evaluate as responsible people with this church. And so I just sort of started asking God about this. And then just lately we're doing these events, and sometimes, you know, you have this great idea, like I'm going to go and bless someone, and it just kind of ends up being not that great, right? Sometimes we go and it's really cool. And so I've sort of been praying about this. And so last time we go and we try to do the laundromat surprise, we're going to pay for people's laundry, right? And it started out like one of those, like, okay, I see something, but not much. And then it was kind of like we got there to Huntsville and no one was at the laundromat. We're like, it's just not working out. But there were all these cars at the hair salon next door. So we're like, well, let's just go in the hair salon. So we go, and people were so touched. I had two people crying in there, right? And Terry like made instant friends with this other lady. Okay, then just yesterday, Terry and Lori went out and did this other thing with passing out the bouquets. And it's kind of like, I don't know, you can pass out flowers. Cool. Let's just see how people take it. Man, the stories were so awesome. Their people were so blessed, you know? And it's kind of like, sometimes you don't realize what the person next to you is going through, you know? Some people just have a really hard life, but we've gotten really good at masking it to other people. And all day long, they struggle. All week, all year long, they're struggling. And for you to step in for one moment and be nice to them without expecting anything in return, you know, we've got tears. We've got tears multiple times. And when God says to love each other and increase more and more in loving others, it's kind of like we've been preaching that message for like 2,000 years. And it's kind of like, all right, I get it. But you know what? We should increase more and more, and loving people never goes out of style. And it still matters. And there's probably someone in your family or someone at work. But if you just said, you know what? Okay, I kind of got my Christian life where I'm comfortable with here. Right? I'm kind of to a level where my repentance is like, okay, I'm feeling good. I'm doing something. Paul's saying, I want you to now take the next step. Love even more. Just try it. Try. Who can you reach out to? Who can you be nice to who doesn't deserve it, and see what happens? Because loving people has never gone out of style, and it never will. And I bet you will really make a difference somewhere. Whether it's giving them a flower, paying for lunch, whether it's just saying something nice when no one ever says anything nice to that person, or whatever it is, try it. If you want to keep growing, if you want to keep finishing, if you want to finish well, that's what we're doing. We're increasing our reach and our influence for the Lord. It's like, you're a Christian, you represent Jesus, set up franchises, right? It's like, you got a comfortable business, don't just stay there, expand. Like you had kids, don't just leave them there. Like grow them, instruct them, teach them. You got friends who you care about? Love them. Grow in the Lord. Let your love grow more and more. And man, I just thought, man, what great examples, Lord. Almost unplanned. Both of them were unplanned. Weren't planning on going to the hair salon, weren't planning to have the flowers to hand out. And just like, God's like, you want an answer? Fine, here's an answer. And just like tears. And it was so good. He's like, my love never, ever goes out of style. And then Paul does what he does sometimes. He uses the word finally, even though he has a lot to say yet. So chapter 4, Paul says this. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you, beginning of chapter 4, finally we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that just like how you receive from us all these instructions, all this truth about how you ought to like live and walk to please God, just as you are doing that in all the things, do that more and more. That's what he says. He uses those words. Please God with your life more and more. Check this out. He says that in verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm going to skip down to verses 10, same chapter. It says, now, concerning about how we are supposed to love each other in the church. You have no need for anyone to give you instructions, for you yourselves have been taught by God how to love one another, for that is what you are doing to everyone in your area, but I urge you to do it, and he says it again, more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, meaning earn your keep, just like we instructed you. And he says, why? Why, Paul? Why? So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. He says, please God with your life more and more. Whatever you're doing, take it to the next step. You know, show the Christians younger than you what it's like to be mature. Take the next step. He said again, love each other in the church more and more. Live honorably before outsiders more and more. And then he says this in chapter 5. He says this is sort of how he wraps it up. I want you to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He says, you want to know how to finish. You want to know how to grow. You want to know how to finish well. Hear these words, more. All the stuff I tell you, now that you're getting good at it, time to crank it up a notch, right? Show those around you how much you can love others. Right? Live honorably. If there's a way that you can live more honorably to the person next to you, especially if they're an unbeliever, do it. Make Jesus look awesome. Especially if someone knows you're a Christian, like they're judging Jesus when they judge you, right? Make the church and the Lord look fantastic. Do things in excellence. Don't blow your top, right? Don't cut people off in traffic. When you mess up, go to people and make it right, right? Whatever you got, it's like we have a tendency to get comfortable. You know what? I have a tendency to sort of like get in my rhythms and get in my habits and kind of a focus person. Like I'm a computer programmer. I'm just like keep the world out of my face. Let me just focus and like hammer through these little tiny details. Like that's my nature. Man, sometimes we got to get out of our zone a little bit and say, how can I take it to the next level, right? Maybe I need to spend more time in the Word. Maybe I need to just get alone in the car and get my favorite worship music on and crank it up all the way, and I just need to take my worship to the next level, right? Whatever it is for you, God, how can I take it to the next step with you, Lord? Love how he says this, rejoice always and pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. I don't think I've ever saw anyone who is thankful enough, right? I try to be super thankful, and then I'll like do something with my kids, and they'll say something that I've said before, and I'm like, oh, they learned that filthy habit from me. Like, I should have been more grateful to the Lord for the things I had, stuff like that. And so I want to finish with this passage from Philippians, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, I think because it meant so much when I was first saved, was Philippians chapter 3. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about if you were sitting around a circle right now or sitting around the dinner table here after church, or if you're just sitting around having coffee, maybe with some friends who were believers. Okay, think about that for a moment. And if you guys were talking about your experiences with the Lord lately, and I want you to imagine if Paul were sitting in the group with you. So here's what Paul tells another one of his churches. He says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, so that by any means possible, I might attain the resurrection of the dead. He says, friends, I don't pretend like I have obtained this sort of perfection, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I myself have made it yet, but the one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the call of God. I imagine if I were sitting around a table with my friends who were believers and Paul was there. And if we were saying like, you know what, we've been worshiping lately. And like this week at church when I was worshiping, man, I just felt the Spirit. It has been good lately, right? And someone else said, you know, I've been trying to stop lying. I've been trying to like, I always like distort the truth. And just lately, I don't know, just God's been walking with me and I've just been like Mr. Truth lately. And then Paul speaks up. He's like, you know, a few years ago, God gave me this revelation and I wrote like half the New Testament. And I don't think he would say that. But think about that a second. This is Paul. He's saying, I'm still pressing on. Right? Like if we were sitting around the table and I was like, man, me and Lisa, we were praying about our kids the other day. And I don't know what's been going on, but God's just been answering these prayers. Like he's been like three prayers answered in the past month about our kids. And it's just been this huge blessing. And it's just like, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. And then Paul spoke up and he was like, yeah, one time I prayed and brought this kid back from the dead. Right? I mean, this is Paul saying, I press on and on. And I think sometimes it is so easy where we get to a certain place and I feel like I'm about as Christian as the next guy. I'm about as Christian as most of the people in the room and I'm good. Right? And if Jesus comes back, I'm good. But Paul's like, you know, I hope you're good, but I'm not going to stand right there. I'm going to press on everything I can do. I'm going to grow more and more. I want my influence to affect my friends more. I want God to reach more of my family. I want God to work through me more. I want to understand more of the Bible. I want to know the God's presence in my prayer life more and more. That's what I want to do. And so finishing well is this always never-ending, pressing on, getting to know the Lord more and more. There's this some fantastic analogy that from the word that we're that they talk about marriage. Like being with the Lord is like marriage. And I think it's sort of like why God gave us marriage, actually. I don't think we have a relationship with God because of marriage. I think we have marriage because God wants to teach us about having a relationship with him. And it's the idea, especially for men, especially for the men in the marriage, when you get married, the idea is you chased her, you got her, and we're supposed to know her more and more. Like I should know my wife better this year than I did last year. And I should know her next year better than I do this year. And I think God gave us this idea of marriage because that's what he wants from us for him. Like I should know the Lord better. And I should be more usable by him all the time, more and more, so that when the final day comes and it is time to finish, it's like, man, that guy, that lady, even when the finish line was in sight, she ran her legs off for the Lord. He ran his guts out. And it's like, when I finish the line, when I get to the finish line for the Lord, I want to be throwing up over the finish line. I just want to go all the way, right? I don't want anything to ever hold me back. I don't want God to say, oh, he did it to the end. He got the repentance thing down. He got the basics down, but man, he never ever stopped, right? So I don't know if we throw up in heaven or how that works, but man, I just want to finish well. And I want to encourage you guys to rejoice always. Remember that God has already chosen you. He's already working. He loves you, right? He's already on your side. I want to increase in others, my love for others this week. Please, God, with my life more, live honorably before others more. And finally, just this idea of rejoice always. Just enjoy it more. Enjoy your family more. Enjoy the Lord more. And finish well. Finish well. If it takes finishing the line and going across the finish line and throwing up, whatever it takes, finish all the way. And the Lord's going to be so pleased when you get there. All right? Think about Billy Graham this week crossing the finish line. Never stopped. Still meeting with presidents in his 90s, right? Never, ever stopped. Like, even though he couldn't, like, do much stuff, still, he was still, like, organizing some things. He still was ministering to people in his own neighborhood. Billy Graham, right? Think of him crossing the finish line. Lord, I want to cross the finish line like that. So that when I get there, if I'm old, I want my kids to be like that. I want my wife to be blessed, right? Whatever it is, I want to finish well. So I want to jump into communion here. I want to do two things. I'd like to pray, and then I would like to invite the worship team up first to come get communion, okay? But let's pray for this week and for communion here at the same time. So if the worship team wants to come up here, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you for encouragement. God, sometimes we just need encouraged. Lord God, I want to change. I don't want to ever want to get comfortable, Lord. I pray you bless everyone in here, everyone in your church and on the other side of the wall too there, Lord, that we never get satisfied, that we always have that idea of God, I want to change. And give us the encouragement this week, Lord, just to trust in what you're doing and to grow our love more and more and to grow our life more and more in you. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this communion table as we remember what you did. In Jesus' name.